Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen. I'm joined by a big Lawrence Lake.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Well, I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you very much. We are a couple of days removed from our live show at the Prince Charles Cinema. People who didn't go to that show are probably sick of hearing about it.
We did a live show,
guys.
We did a live show, guys,
and you weren't there to see it. What was your favourite moment from the show?
Hey, I got a big chant when I went on stage, so you enjoyed that.
You did. People were chanting...
Fake a door.
Well, not only that, but it was fake a door.
What more do you want?
Because we are British wrestling fans.
Gotta have a bit of Casey in the Sunshine Band with your own name in it. It's fine, because that's what I've been chanting around the house before that all week.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, it's nice that people have cottoned on to what I do in my private time.
And it was funny as well, because it finally reminded me of a chant that we got started at the Rev Pro show we went to on Friday, when we were getting really angry with Chris Roberts during the Phantasmo match for not doing his job.
Yes.
So we started chanting, do your job, do
your
job.
It did seem to be the running theme of that entire show, that Roberts was not doing his job. He wasn't counting people out when they were outside of the ring. He was forgetting to do the regular count. He wasn't asking people if they wanted to tap.
It's just showing his discretion. It's just like letting these guys, you know, he's using his referee's discretion to let them have these fights on the outside.
He's too discreet. That's how I would describe it.
Bless Chris Roberts. But it was a really fun night. I had a good time. I have listened back to the show.
Yeah.
My review of it would be, I get loud and obnoxious by the end. That's my review of the show. So
that was a good laugh.
It was a good laugh.
Hopefully we get to do it again, and hopefully more people.
Well, yes.
The people who didn't get to come before can come and see.
We were speaking to the Prince Charles yesterday, and it's a new year. We're going to be looking to do some more things with them. We've got plans in place and things that we would like to do.
Sweet.
We've got an email here from Chris Smith. And I remember last week we were talking about the Jericho Cruise and the karaoke.
Jezza Cruise.
And you were talking about how you're a big fan of karaoke.
I am indeed.
And so we started asking people to send in karaoke-based Rusev Hayes.
Okay, yeah.
Well, Chris Smith, who sent in that original one, has sent in another Rusev Hay based around karaoke.
Sweet.
So he enjoyed...
Mike Lurker.
Said, hello again, Luke and Laurie. I'm glad you enjoyed Raven's intro. Sorry about filming it in landscape. You'll never be forgiven for that. Since you've asked for more karaoke stories for the NXT reviews, I do have some to share from the cruise. Marty Skrull and Flip Gordon attempted to sing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song, but they got confused halfway through because Flip was singing the full version and Marty only knew the TV version. Classic mistake.
The full version always throws people off.
It really does, because everyone thinks, well, I know the words of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's only 20 seconds long. But oh no, it's a full 3-minute song. There are extra verses. The first verse is longer, but people always get slipped up by it. And they're like, wait, what's this now?
It's the same as Total Eclipse of the Heart has the same effect at karaoke, because where you think the chorus is coming in, in Total Eclipse of the Heart, that's not where the chorus comes in, man. There's another verse. You got to wait. Patience is not a thing for drunk karaoke.
Chris continues, Marty told Flip to get off the stage, and that's why he wasn't booked for All In. Christopher Daniels, Frankie Zane, and Scorpio Sai sang Take On Me, with Daniels debuting, dancing being the highlight. Noelle Foley, who was dressed like Asuka because it was the night before Halloween, sang Baby Got Back. And Maddie Skell and Sammy Callahan closed the show by singing NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye.
That I want to see. I also want to sing any NSYNC or Backstreet Boys song with Sammy Callahan. That is that is my new dream. Sammy, if you are listening.
Yeah, and we know you are.
Please, please, can we?
I like this as Chris closed out his email here. At one point, I thought Chris Jericho was attempting karaoke, but it turned out to be a Fozzy concert. Nice. Slam Chris Smith.
Brutal.
Slam Chris Smith.
999, is that the Burns unit?
Obviously, big thank you to Nicola for sending across the lovely presents to the studio. We're going to be tucking into those later on today, so we're very much looking forward to it. Thank you very, very much. Right, so we're going to crack into the NXT review now, talking about how it was a terrific go-home show for Takeover War Games, despite the fact not being all that newsworthy. Here's the show. NXT last night, this is the go-home show for NXT Takeover War Games, mm-hmm. and Ollie and I were rather critical of Raw and SmackDown. While they both had their excellent moments, Becky in the main event of Raw, obviously attacking Ronda mm-hmm. Rousey, and Daniel Bryan shockingly winning the WWE Championship on Tuesday, are kind of like these things to make you go, like, maybe I should tune into Survivor Series.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the other hand, they've also not done a great deal to make you care about the other matches.
Any of them, yeah. So, and also the problem is because all the Becky Lynch stuff isn't going anywhere anyway now.
Like, we've
now
had,
you know, and that's obviously not their fault necessarily. Yes. But yeah, we've been building to this one match. They've put all their sort of eggs on the basket, like in the basket of this match with Becky and Ronda. And unfortunately, Becky now can't compete. So they've gone, oh no.
Well, let's scrap everything then and just start all over. Like Daniel Bryan champion. Like, for example, at the other matches on the card, you've got Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura. It's mm-hmm. IC champ versus US champ. This should feel like a really big deal. This yes. is like the first time these two have ever had a match anywhere around the world. And Seth Rollins' promo on Raw essentially boiled down to, you don't need to care about this match because I don't care about it.
Well, absolutely. And that's the thing, is like, you know, he's obviously had a hell of a lot of storyline going on, but that's also caught up in various outside influences that I don't have any control over. So you just have to kind of go, okay, well, he's more interested in Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Shinsuke, we haven't seen. Well, Shinsuke has been he's been in absentia.
Yeah.
He was for a very long time.
He was on SmackDown at the very least to say, I care about the match. Mm. I was like, well, at least you're trying, I guess. But yeah, like,
this week.
Yeah, we don't have any reason to care about that match. Likewise, the tag team match that's on the kickoff show, no reason to care about that. And while the company are trying to make you care about the 5-on-5 match, at the same time, it's like, but why are you fighting? What are you fighting for?
Mm.
There is nothing on the line to be sort of fought over. But come next week, none of it will matter.
Well, even the Invasion was led by Becky Lynch. It's not even like the Invasion even matters to the people in the match. Like they were all bit part players in the Invasion. The actual Invasion and the proper match that is between the two teams are the five, you know, the five men and the five women in their various matches.
Yes. And further to that, that was also built around the women's 5-on-5 match.
Mm.
However, we don't know who the fifth member of the team on Team SmackDown is. Mm. So we're going into the show with an incomplete card.
Mm.
So while WWE have done some very good stuff this week, Becky Lynch mostly, even when she's injured and cannot compete, on SmackDown she was still arguably the best thing on the show.
What an amazing promo.
What an amazing promo that was. So I've got very little interest going into Survivor Series. I cared about one match, and we're not getting that match anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So my interest level in the Survivor Series is very, very low. But onto NXT, they have an hour's worth of TV, and in that hour, they had three matches, which is two less than Raw did in 3 hours. And one of those matches had a major stipulation that was going to lead in to the main event of NXT TakeOver War Games.
Mm.
So that's a big deal.
Yes.
But throughout the show, they also built the other matches that are on there just through video packages. They were the hype packages we're going to see on Saturday, but that doesn't matter because they're there to get you excited about those matches the same way they're there to get you excited about them on Saturday. And they also set up other storylines to come out after War Games. So this did a very good job of building up and getting you excited for a show on Saturday as well as what will come Sunday, you know, post-Saturday.
Well, it was a bit of me being like, my defense wanted to be like, you know, Raw and SmackDown, they've had a terrible time with injuries and all these outside influences forcing their hand when it comes to the booking. So is NXT, I guess. Not with injuries, but with the fact that just all the tapings happened pre
evolution.
Any of
the
pre-evolution, pre any of this other stuff. All this, there's been all this story they've had to just deal with coming out, like, and it's like, okay, well, what are we going to do now?
Yeah.
And then they've still managed to make. I still feel like Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler again feels important now because of the influence of Duke and Shafir, like putting them into the mix now. It feels like Shane is starting to build her own little stable, and Kairi has to be the one to kind of topple it. But I think what we're going to see is the beginning of the Four Horsewomen proper.
Yes, that's
now,
where we're sort of getting towards. Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, and I think like, and they've managed to do, like, you know, Ciampa and Dream haven't had a lot of, like, haven't had a huge amount of face-offs, but that still feels pretty big. Like, it feels like a major deal. Gargano and Aleister Black has obviously been the story going on in NXT, really. And then the War Games match feels really important because the quantity of people in it and how good they are.
Yes.
It feels like it's going to be this amazing thing.
Yeah, it's they did a really good job on this episode, as I said, of getting you kind of like hyped and excited for it. And the Baszler Sane one in particular, I think, is interesting because this is a match we literally saw a couple of weeks ago at Evolution.
Mm.
We've seen several times over in NXT this year already. But the stipulation, or the added stipulation of it being a 2 out of 3 falls match, and them having legitimate storyline reason for having that match makes that match feel like a big deal. And you're like, yeah, cool. It does need to be 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah.
It does need this gimmick around it because that makes storyline sense. That makes logical storyline sense for this feud. So I'm now really looking forward to that.
Mm.
And Kairi Sane, bless her heart, promos is not really her strong suit because the English language, not her first language.
No.
So that's absolutely fair enough. Like, but she did actually a really good promo in this.
Yeah.
I really liked her promo.
And I think it was good as well because it was from her perspective. And I think a lot of the other promos, like leading into Evolution, was the promos were Shayna focused.
Mm-hmm.
I lost the title.
Yes.
I messed it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm training in the gym. I'm coming back for it. I'm going to win. And then she did.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing Kairi's side of things. And she's holding her own. Because I think before, like, and we were saying this before, one of the NXT reviews leading into Evolution, we were saying, when we see Kairi, she's just milling around outside Full Sail. And they were like, Kairi, can you tell me one thing? And she goes, I'm going to win.
And then
Shayna gets this 2-minute promo package of her, like, boxing in the gym,
so
kicking
awesome.
People's heads off
yeah.
and looking really awesome. And Kairi's just like, I've got a treasure chest and I'm outside.
Yeah. And that's weird as well because it's like the treasure chest thing could feel like a really naff gimmick of like, you know, it's my treasure chest, and she has the title within this treasure chest. Very cartoony, very early 90s WWF. Mm. But somehow, in this promo, where Kairi was like, I've lost my treasure, I was like, oh, you poor thing.
Yeah.
Genuinely felt really bad for
you,
her.
You sweet little bubblegum princess. I'm so sad for you.
I want you to win that title back now, because she's a proper bully.
Yeah.
And you were screwed out of your treasure. So I thought it was really nice. So we haven't got a lot to dive into in this NXT review, but we'll save everything for the full review itself. But I suppose really the big question is, was this a better go-home show than Raw and SmackDown were for Survivor Series?
Well, I have to caveat heavily with the fact that I actually watch NXT every week, and I don't watch Raw and SmackDown.
You
every
watch
week.
The highlights.
I tend to watch the highlights for Raw and SmackDown, or I'll go and watch the matches when I can.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I'm more in tune with what's going on in NXT in general. So I would be more excited anyway. And the fact that there's only 4 matches on the card.
Yep.
And it's, you know, probably going to be about 2.5 hours. So everything's going to get like a good showing.
Yes.
I'm very excited for NXT TakeOver. However, I was excited for Survivor Series until this week happened. And all the stuff sort of fell out of it. And I'm like, oh, I was kind of into that, you know, before.
Yeah, it's really weird because like, the bottom really has sort of fallen out of Survivor Series. Because as we were saying, like, I was... And I'm not just excited for one match. It was the most excited I've been about a singles match in WWE all bloody year long. I was so into this Becky versus Ronda match. So excited for it. But now we're not getting that. We were talking about earlier, like when we were in the studio, Charlotte versus Ronda is still going to be a really great match. Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
That was originally their plan for WrestleMania.
Right?
Apparently.
That's also going to be great. But I was so into Becky that I was really... But now, without that match...
It does
feel flat. It does feel like the bottom has really fallen out.
Yeah.
And Survivor Series usually is a very fun show. I got a bit of heat because I said that I hate the Survivor Series format. I used to love Survivor Series. It was like one of my favorite pay-per-views. But because it's based around this Raw versus SmackDown meaningless nonsense, I've really turned off on the Survivor Series. I just feel like it halts everything.
Well, it needs to have like another stipulation to it.
It should be stakes.
It should be whoever wins gets to pick someone from the other team and just take them. Just be like, yeah. Okay, we won. I'm having AJ.
Yeah, totally. Something like, along those lines. Or, like, we were saying the mixed match challenge. The winner of that gets the number 30 spots in the Royal Rumble. Like, why hasn't Survivor Series got any implications for the Rumble?
Yeah.
Like, why haven't they got any implications for anything? But anyway, we're off topic.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So the show kicked off with the EST of NXT, Bianca Belair, being undefeated and remaining undefeated when she beat Mia Yim, Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget.
There was a close point where she would get feated because of Mia Yim's finisher.
Yeah. So Mia Yim is the head baddie in charge.
Yep.
Such a lame.
The Blasian baddie.
Yep, that I think is fine. Like, that was weird.
It's okay.
It's okay. But head baddie in charge sounds, as I said, it sounds like Dr. Claw. She does have some nice drop kicks, though. This was a fairly good match. But really, the whole point of this match, and kind of why I was really sort of high on this NXT show in terms of its building towards TakeOver and beyond, is that it was setting up future challenges for whoever wins between Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler. That's really what this whole, like the first two matches on this, that's what they were doing. Mm. They were like, the commentators were putting over very heavily, Bianca Belair is a number one contender. She should be in the title hunt. And then with the Lacey Evans match, the same thing was like, she should be, like, this really establishes her now as a championship contender. So that's setting up future storylines.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once the Baszler, so even without being able to have Baszler and Sane on TV in front of the live crowd for the last couple of weeks because of they taping everything before Evolution, they've done enough to get excited about that match without them being there and future matches. Without knowing what the outcome was going to be.
I feel like the thing at Evolution should have been, you probably should have just decided who was going to win the belt before the event happened.
I'd imagine.
And then you could have taped it all. But, you know. Yeah.
Whatever. But this was a fine little match. Mia Yim's got some fairly nice drop kicks. But eventually Bianca Belair fouled her with the KOD, which is a reverse fisherman's facebuster.
Yeah, a torture rack facebuster slam.
Yes. Lovely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Doodad.
I'm a big fan
Gubbinsy,
of
Gubbinsy.
I'm a big fan of Bianca Belair. I think she's ace.
She was great. I thought it was really good in this as well, because I think Mia Yim got the showing she needed to have on NXT. Like, she had a fairly standard one in her first match. And then I think she got quite a good little showing here, like, and looked strong against Bianca Belair, and it was quite tight at the end. It wasn't like it could have gone either way, felt like. But Bianca Belair came out vicious in this, I thought. It looked like it was a different level than we normally see. And obviously she was still kind of cocksure and cocky, However, she turned it up a little bit here, and I just thought that was quite nice to see her being like, let's see because she's been dominant so far, so it's nice to see her stretched,
yeah,
and see how she sells that and works that.
Absolutely, yeah. We then got backstage. Kathy Kelly was interviewing the War Raiders, Pete Dunne and Ricochet, ahead of their War Games match this coming Saturday. And she's asking who's going to represent their team in the main event tonight, because the main event tonight is one member from Team Goodies versus one member of the Team Baddies. And they're going to have a singles match to determine who is going to be who's going to get the man advantage at War Games, which Pete Dunne obviously said the match was not about. Clearly forgetting the rules. Ricochet that he wants to do it. Pete Dunne said he wants to do it. Or Pete Dunne stood up and was like, I think I should do it, to be honest. I think I'm really good.
I'd be great at this.
I think that if we go to win, it should really be me.
I'll break his fingers.
And then Roe of the War Raiders stands up and tells him it's enough. And Hansen says that he's going to do it instead. And this is cool, because this is what we said last week. I wanted to see a member of the War Raiders in a singles match against one of the tech guys. That'd be great.
Yes, absolutely. It's a good setup. And I like the idea that, you know, they're still keeping that tension boiling over between Pete Dunne and Ricochet. Because that means, one, there's probably going to play in the match in some way. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, could potentially be something that hands Undisputed Era the win here. But also has implications further down the line should, say, I don't know, for instance, Pete Dunne loses his NXT UK title and then he can vie against Ricochet for the North American title.
Yes.
And then he's suddenly in the American branch of
NXT. I guess, yeah. Making that slow transition up into the main roster. Yeah. God bless his
soul. Where he's going to be the future champion.
Yes, well, absolutely.
The man has Universal Champion written
Absolutely he does. And it was, they played off quite nice between the tensions between Rick and Pete. And that played into the main events of the show, which we'll get to, I suppose. But also, this has a nice implication in that the War Raiders stood up and said, this is stupid. Why are we all arguing?
Yeah.
In, you know, much harsher words. Oh, they weren't quite as polite as I put it.
Enough!
That is more what they did.
I'm doing it.
And Hansen's like, I'm the one that's going to do this. And then he lost. So there's going to be implications of that within the match as well. I was just like, well, we trusted you to win on Wednesday and you failed.
Yeah, true.
So there's lots of stuff that could be done.
To be fair, if the War Raiders shouted at me, though, I'd be like, please, you go nuts.
You go for it, mate.
Have to go, sir.
Oh, no, I insist. We've got a video recap, the hype package that we'll likely get to see on Saturday at TakeOver about who ran over Aleister Black.
It was Johnny.
It was Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano was the one who attacked Aleister Black backstage. And this was really cool. It was a really cool hype package for this match. It told a really nice story. Mm. It was pretty around this Gargano saying like, hey, I'm the good guy. I'm the good guy in this scenario.
I love this, yeah.
So awesome.
I love the fact they're using all the Venom stuff on his gear now, because it's the perfect character to sum that up as well. That the idea that, you know, not Venom, but the black suited Spider-Man, I think, is the, you know, that is the exact thing. It's like, I'm using this power for good.
And it's
not aware that it's corrupting me.
And obviously Johnny Gargano is a massive comic books fan. Like, he talked very openly after Stan Lee passed earlier this week, and about how like Stan Lee characters have influenced a lot of his outfits. And it's really interesting that here he has got this sort of this Venom or the black suit Spider-Man thing, and you compare that to what he had, I think it was at TakeOver, it was one of the earlier TakeOvers this year, it might have been Philadelphia or the one that came before WrestleMania, New Orleans, I think, where he was dressed as Captain America.
The street fight.
Street fight was Captain America, wasn't it? And like, so he's gone from Captain America to black-suited Spider-Man / Venom. What a wicked little character journey that is. Mm. And like, and using your outfits to convey that change of character. That was a really nice touch.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah.
I think he's done it's been a really good transition. And I think like it's been such a nice slow build for it, and I think it's been well told to be like, you know, we were obviously going, oh, who's it gonna be? It's probably gonna be Johnny, isn't it? But you know, like, it's very satisfying to get to that point where it's like, oh, it is Johnny.
Yeah.
Brilliant, because he's probably had the most perfect arc of any character aside from Ciampa. Obviously he's had the exact same arc basically but 1 year earlier. You know, they've had the most perfect arc, I think, of any characters in NXT, and it's nice to see it sort of, even though it's taken like 3 years to get here, it's paying off now.
Oh, absolutely it does. I was a big fan of this video package. And it's funny as well, because like, when before Gargano turned, I think I might have even said on this show, I've certainly said previously on other shows, like, he's such a natural babyface. Like, he's the sort of guy you never really want to turn heel, because everyone loves him so much. And it's, I mean, humble pie, slice after slice for me. I said the same thing about Becky. I said the same thing about Daniel Bryan. I said the same thing about Sami Zayn. And yet here we are. And it's brilliant. And what an interesting character journey for him.
But it works because he's a babyface.
Yes,
and
exactly,
I think what the brilliant pitching of this and what makes it so compelling is the fact that he still thinks he's a babyface.
Yes, that's why it works.
That's why it works.
Works, and I think, so, you know, well here, yeah.
Hopefully something similar happens with Daniel Bryan. I think Becky obviously shrugged off the being a heel thing of just be like, I am just that damn good.
Yeah.
You know, like,
this is me.
So this is why these things...
This is me.
As long as these things work out in that way,
yeah,
it's fine. As long as Johnny doesn't start turning around going, oh, you never liked me. It's,
yeah, like, oh God, yeah.
We've all been holding up little smiley faces for years now, Johnny. We love you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And that's why I love this character. I think it's really, really cool. Kathy Kelly did another interview backstage, this time with Matthew Riddle, who said that he really enjoyed his debut.
He did. He loved his debut.
Obviously, he's talking about his debut. God, Matt Riddle's good. And he says that NXT's not ready for him, but this brings up Cassius Ohno. And Cassius says that when he came in, he challenged NXT champion Shinsuke Nakamura. He challenged the glorious Bobby Roode. What have you done, Matt? What have you done since you've come in here? Nothing, mate. Nothing. You've done nout. You're all hype, lads. And he challenges Ohno to a match next week. I'm doing big inverted commas for podcast listeners, because it will be taped before War Games. So it'll actually. So I think we might end up doing that as part of our predictions, which is going to go up later today, because we've only got four matches to talk about. So we may as well talk about Matt Riddle and Cassius Ohno as well.
Matt Riddle wins.
But yes, I mean, spoilers. That's
end
what
of prediction.
So yeah, so they're going to have a match, quote, next week, but it's going to take place this coming Saturday before TakeOver, which I think is going to be really fun, actually. I think it's going to be a great match, because I'm a big, big fan of Matt Riddle. And I like this as well, because this is something else you don't get on the main roster. The interviewer having a little bit of personality. Because Ohno walks away, and Kathy Kelly, the professional that she was there to do an interview with Matt Riddle. This dick just came in and interrupted. So she's like, so sorry about that.
No, I'm
terribly sorry. Yeah. That was really unprofessional on our part. And Matt's
it's
like,
a shame they haven't got any runners to stop people just walking into the shot.
That's what WWE is.
That's what they need.
They need less people.
They need some floor managers.
They need less people acting like security guards standing outside exit doors. Yeah. They need people there. They need runners, mate. Can't be any of their cups of tea. But Matt Riddle said it's fine because he's happy they talked because now they can fight. That sounds like fun. Next up, we got Carissa Rivera versus Lacey Evans. Now, I thought this was supposed to happen last week. Now, maybe I misread this, but 2 weeks ago, there was a graphic that said Lacey Evans in action next week.
Yes.
And I'm almost saying we said that in our review. And then it didn't happen last week, and I thought, well, that's odd. And then it happened here, and I was like, well, I guess it was 2 weeks. Maybe I read the graphic wrong.
Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know.
I find it very confusing with NXT's graphics when all the up next and next weeks and stuff. I'm just like, I don't know when anything's happening. I have no idea when anything's happening when I watch NXT. I'm just like,
it
all just goes in and my information, my brain just goes, I can't comprehend when anything's happening. So like, sometimes it'll be like, in 4 weeks' time,
Alistair Black will be in action.
We're going to see someone in 4 weeks' time.
Get excited, yeah. Kids.
And now he's been released.
And it always works. Yeah. It always works. So this is my first time seeing Carissa Rivera. She has a very good look, but she didn't really get a whole lot to do in this match. It was more about showing off Lacey Evans.
Well, funnily enough, when she didn't have an entrance on the program, I was like, oh, she's not winning.
Yeah. Evans, this really was like a showcase match for Lacey Evans, as predicted last week. Her entrance music is stuck in my head. She has a spot where she kind of like throws her down to the mat and starts doing some push-ups on her. Rivera gets some overhand chops, but hits a horrible-looking dropkick. Considering the dropkicks the Mir Yim threw in the opening match, this was... They shot it from an angle that made it look as less horrible as it possibly could. But sometimes you can't fix everything. You can't polish a turd. But what I like about the Lacey Evans character is that she's the lady of NXT. I'm acting like a lady. I'm classy. I'm so dignified. But when Rivera hits this horrible-looking dropkick, Lacey is very upset. She is very, very upset at the disgrace that this woman just kicked her in the chest. And she turns, and she essentially becomes this more vicious character. Her whole demeanor changes. And she goes into this really aggressive mode, women's right, punches her right in the face, and then as soon as the match is over, she's back to being a lady. I'm so classy.
I think she's very concerned about the redness on her chest, though, as well. She spends a lot of time looking at it and being like, you know, I do like that bit of her character. I'm not overly sold on the Lacey Evans thing. I just... I don't really. I'm not like vibing on a move set. I don't really like the women's right as a finisher. Like, I think it is a name and like it's a name and a symbol more than it is like a cool move.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because I've never I didn't like it when Big Show did it.
No,
and like Big Show is like 8'12", you know, he's like a massive dude. So when he punches you with his fist that is the size of a car, you do believe that would knock a man down.
Yeah, but you got to realize what do you do for the rest of the match?
Well, yeah, because anytime you punch him, it's like, well, why didn't that kill them?
Yeah,
it's because you went and you screamed at your hand. It gives it the power.
If you've got the iron fist, then fine. Like I'm aware that if you summon the iron fist and your fist starts glowing, then maybe you'll knock a man out in one punch. But if you just change the way you punch from I'm hitting you to
yeah,
it doesn't, I don't know. Like I just think it's a bit naff.
I think it's a bit naff as well. But I do like the Lacey Evans character. At the very least, I like her character. And as I said in the Mia Yim match. Bianca Belair, I should say. This sets up future contenders for whoever comes out the victor against Baszler and Sane. One would assume, perhaps we're diving more into our predictions territory here, we're setting up heels. So maybe Sane will be the one to recapture the title, especially if they are going to be doing a horsewomen thing at after Survivor Series. But we'll save that for predictions afterwards. And then Lacey cut a promo afterwards saying that NXT is full of classless nasties.
I think they need to be so careful with that. She's obviously got like the Southern Belle accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to say that everyone else, if Shayna doesn't win and Sane wins, and then it's Bianca Belair and Mia Yim being set up as the other characters.
I see where you're going.
They need to be very careful about having a Southern Belle white woman calling everyone else nasties. You're getting into a bit of a minefield here of, you know.
Yeah, let's skirt around that. and she says that they've forgotten to carry themselves with sophistication. She's the lady of NXT. And if they don't adhere to her standards, she's going to teach them a lesson in class and standards with the women's right. It was a fine promo. It was a perfectly fine promo. We then got a video package for Ciampa and Dream, which was good. I'd say the best video package of the night to hype up Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane, which was really good. And this is where we got Shayna talking about her losing her treasure box and wanting to win back her championship. I thought this was really cool. Really got me excited for the match on Saturday.
Well, it's amazing that you can still be excited for a match we've seen so many times.
Absolutely,
and you're like, okay, well, do you know what? Actually, they've done amazing matches.
Yeah.
Really well, and I can't wait to see them because this feels like the culmination of this feud, right?
Really,
like, it's got to be. This is the big stipulation, unless they do the classic NXT thing of be like, we'll do a different stipulation next time. This is the Johnny and Ciampa thing. It's okay, we'll just keep doing different stipulations until eventually, I guess it comes out in the wash. I don't know. Like,
so I'm really looking forward to that match. And in our main event, we got Hanson of the War Raiders versus Kyle O'Reilly and his excellent entrance in a terrific little match. About 10, 12 minutes or so, but it was really awesome. It was great stuff.
It had a lot in it. They managed to pack a bunch into it, didn't they?
Yeah, actually. And if it wasn't for Brian and AJ on SmackDown, this would probably have been the best WWE match of the week. I thought so. I thought it was absolutely awesome. I'm a big fan of War Machine, of the War Raiders, and I love, like, when Kyle O'Reilly is making his entrance, doing his, like, playing the belt like a guitar and doing his kick, just being the brilliance that Kyle O'Reilly is, Hanson is just crouching, just giving him the hands, being like, get in the ring. Just get in the ring.
Hurry up now.
Because when you do get in the ring, I'm going to stand up, be massive, and you're going to get hurt.
I love the beginning of this. I love the fact that Kyle played into, like, his kind of cocky character, but with the MMA-style stuff, and he was like, he was basically playing hit and run for the first bit. He was like throwing out a few kicks, throwing out a few punches. Hanson's just like, yeah, anytime you want to actually have a proper fight. And then eventually backed him into the turnbuckle. I just thought that was such a brilliant opening moment. Like,
yeah, there was some really cool stuff. And he starts like throwing Kyle O'Reilly hither and yonder. But there's an amazing moment, I love this, where Kyle O'Reilly was essentially trying to goad him into getting on the floor. He's like, he got down on the floor and like essentially tried to like jockey for position with Hanson standing up tall. And that's a brilliant, like, that feels like a real fight. It's just like, well, I can't take the man down, but if he comes down to me, then I've got
I'll
him on the floor.
I'll win on the floor.
Yeah, I've got him on the floor. That's a really cool character thing.
Yeah, and there were so many brilliant bits where they played into that idea that Kyle kept trying to take Hanson down. And Hansen just kept being like, no, I am far too strong. Yeah. Just like, no, I've picked you up.
Off you go.
And I've picked, there were a few times he just picked him up and put him back. And it was, it wasn't even like, I've picked you up into like a suplex or doing anything. It's just like, and you're back. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'll try something else.
It was really cool. And eventually, Kyle O'Reilly does get the advantage on him by doing like a dragon screw through the ropes and then starts to work over his leg. Chopping the big tree down, as a commentator might mm-hmm. say. And then it really got into schmoz mode. When and this was awesome, really, because like Hansen like just pushes him off while Kyle O'Reilly's attacking him, clocks him in the face, women's right to the face.
I know, and the most powerful move in all of NXT.
And Kyle just hits, like, falls on his butt, falls right out of the ring, and then Hansen hits this ginormous tope suicide. Mm. It was absolutely awesome, and that brought down Adam Cole. And Adam Cole was there to kind of distract him, and Adam Cole standing there, not like trying to like stop him. He just was shouting at him, stop that.
He's going, don't you dare!
Don't you dare do that!
Don't you dare!
It would be very inconvenient if you did that.
Incredibly cross if you jump on him.
But it was enough for Hansen to miss the moonsault and Kyle O'Reilly to get out of
the
way.
It was enough for Hansen to change his mind from what he was doing. Because he looked like he was setting up for like a big leg drop.
Like, or like the Vader bomb, yeah.
So he was like setting up, and then he just turned around and then went for a moonsault instead. Missed it, obviously. Yeah, it was great.
And it was awesome because Kyle O'Reilly like dodges the moonsault, grabs a near fall, and transitions instantly into an arm bar and into the ankle lock. This is awesome stuff. Hansen gets to the ropes, but Cole kicks him on the outside. Kyle O'Reilly hits Axe and Smash for another near fall, and this is when we start getting everyone else running down. So Rowe runs down.
Takes out Cole.
Yeah, I like Hansen doing a cartwheel to dodge one of Kyle O'Reilly's attacks. I love that. And then Strong and Fish come down, then Pete Dunne comes down. And
a brilliant moment where Strong runs up to meet Pete Dunne. He just does one punch and Strong just goes flying. Women's right.
It's such a devastating move.
It is a devastating move.
And then Ricochet appears from nowhere and does a big flip dive onto everyone. And then back in the ring, Kyle O'Reilly uses the belt like the bloody heel that he is. And he pins Hansen. So Undisputed Era have the advantage going into War Games. Good job, WWE. You managed to get that one right. I thought it was a terrific match.
It was a great match.
Really great.
I mean, it's the babyface's fault they lost, really, there. Because, like, you could have all just come down together.
Guys, come on. It's
teamwork, people.
It's not like the Undisputed Era aren't known for, like, running down and causing distractions or anything like that. This is your own fault, lads. This is on you, mate. I'll be honest with you. Even, like, Roe. Where were you, mate? Mm. Like, I know Hansen could do this on his own, but just be there as backup, lads.
Yeah, there was good. I think there were good implications here as well for the War Games match, because obviously they were putting over the idea that Kyle kept working on the left knee, I think it was, of Hansen.
Yeah, I think he worked on both. But yeah, like, so he transitioned from the right to the left.
Yeah, so he was working on both legs, and they were saying, like, you know, we're only a few days out from War Games. Will Hansen be well in time?
Absolutely, yeah.
For the match. And then they also did the same thing to Pete Dunne.
Yes.
Coming down. So.
And Pete Dunne hurt his leg off Ricochet's flip dive.
Yeah,
it wasn't the Undisputed Era that took him.
We got he got a chop block as well from.
Oh, that was Roderick Strong. Yeah,
and then he was underneath the flip dive as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. So there could be a story. Yeah, I probably got that wrong there. But they could tell a story that Ricochet also hurt him, because he was kind of celebrating, but he was like on his own, away from everyone else. As very much the outsider of this foursome. And so there's some really good stuff going into this War Games match. Pete Dunne's hurt. Hansen's hurt. Can they all trust each other? Whereas Undisputed Era not only have got the numbers advantage, they're all fine, and they're a complete unit.
Yes.
Like, they are at 100%. So they really have got the mind games and all other advantages going into the match.
And I also think all this knee stuff. There's two people with hurt knees on the one team. Who likes to hurt people's knees now? His new thing. Mm. Bobby Fish.
Bloody Bobby Fish, mate.
Bobby Bobbert Fish.
Bobbles Fish. Bloody loves hitting people in the knees.
Yeah, I feel like this is where he comes in to shine here.
It's going
to
be so good.
Chest to the knees for everyone.
So it was like, it was a perfectly fine episode of NXT. Not a whole lot to talk about in it, really.
Mm.
But what this episode set out to do was get you excited for TakeOver War Games. And for me, that was a rousing success.
Yes.
Because it did make me excited for War Games. There was three matches, only one of them's worth going out of your way to see. But I did think it was a fairly fine hour of television that did an excellent job in getting me excited for a pay-per-view.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Couldn't ask for more, really, from
Absolutely not.
Something filmed weeks ago that goes out 3 days before something else happens.
And I know a lot of people go like, oh, Luke, all you do is piss and moan about the way the WWE do things, wanting it to be better. And it's like, but I know they can do it.
Yeah,
I know they can do
well
better.
We're well aware that, you know, you can magically make an episode around bad booking or someone being injured or weird bits of, like, scheduling conflicts.
Yeah.
NXT somehow manages to do that week in and week out.
They manage it fine.
And it always manages to be at least good to very good.
Jared Conister has got in touch with us. Specifically, it's a poetry corner, but even more specifically, it's for NXT.
Whoa.
So, this has become my favourite thing. So I love the podcast. The WrestleRealm podcast is my favourite thing we do in WrestleTalk here. News is grand and everything. The WrestleRamble video version, grand and everything. But I like this because I feel it, because it's my baby.
It's your baby.
It's my baby. So I like, and I like that we've now almost created this new subset of fans that are sending in emails specifically for the podcast. But I love this even further, that someone is sending in podcasts specifically for the NXT reviews. It's like, it's the developmental area.
It's the niche of a niche.
It's the niche of a niche. So Jared Connors has emailed in, Dear Ollie, Luke, Laurie, and Little Andy too. Little Andy. After the weeks of the Aleister Black mystery angle attacker, I've decided to submit my first poetry corner. I thought on this for 2 days with the concept in mind, and the last line written before finding the inspiration from an old source to fill in the rest. The source, in case you wonder, was the Book of Lamentations. Lamentations.
The Book of Lamentations.
I'm just going to do a quick Google of what the Book of Lamentations is. It's from Jeremiah, probably on the grounds of the reference to the... Wikipedia, just give me the bare bones, mate. It's a collection of poetic laments for the destruction of Jerusalem.
Ooh.
That is well beyond my knowledge reach. I had to go to Wikipedia there.
Yeah, I've been reading Stephen King this week, so
yeah, yeah,
we're not on the same wavelength, man.
I was going to say, I'm reading the new Cormorant and Strike book, which I've been reading for ages now. But anyway, so it's called Nikki Knows a Secret, but all the letters are capitalized and they are separated out by dots. So it looks like a Chuck Norris movie from the 80s. Names rattle in her head, infesting the corners of her mind. Knowing was half the battle. Knowing was half the fight. Intertwining darkness with the black. Knives bleeding in his back. Nameless attacker, obviously tormenting. Who was it? Sinned in the beginning. All are wondering. Searching for answers, engaging with the light, crestfallen upon the revelation that Righteous John has evil inside. This is what she knew. And just in case, note that the first letter in each line is Nikki Knows a Secret.
Oh, it's one of those ones.
It's one of them ones.
There's a name for it, and I don't know what it is.
This is why Ollie's good for poetry.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a Wordle. It's not a Wordle.
We need Ollie here because he's a nerd, and nerds would know these sorts of things.
Yeah.
We'll ask him what it is later, and then when he tells us, we'll just shout nerd at him because he's being a nerd.
What are you, some sort of haiku nerd?
Oh, such a little nerd.
You're rhyming couplets. That's lame.
So lame. There's got an email here from Shivam Sharma. Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and maybe Andy too. As you might remember, a couple of months ago, I shared my progression on the podcast and clarified that Ollie Davis is my motivation. Now I want to share with you my progression again. This is obviously a WrestleTalk Get Better. Now I've made some chest and huge calf gain as well. I'm doing this so I can become a playboy like Ollie and get the chance to sleep with 25 girls. Hope you read this out. And thank you so much for the work. It really helps me out when I'm stressed because of study. Love you all. So this is progress. Building up some of that muscle strength.
Strong calves.
Those are some strong calves.
Some great hams there.
I don't really understand the rest of it because pies. but I'll show them to Ollie, and I'm sure that he will appreciate the work that you're doing.
Ollie is still drinking his Huel. He'll watch it. He'll look at you. He'll look at your pictures over a nice, cool glass of Huel.
We have also, I want to give a bit of a tease for the Saturday episode. Obviously, you're not going to get that for a while. Well, you'll get it on Saturday.
2 days.
In 2 days. But you may remember, Pod Swafters, an email we got in about jogging. It was the original jogging email, and both sides sent us in updates on this jogging situation. So as a tease for Saturday's show, we have another update.
Whoa.
Another update has come in, and I will share that on the Saturday show. But that is all we've got time for on this show. But do we want to have a joke before we go? Do you want a joke?
Yeah, go on, joke me.
Yeah, that's not a very good one.
I'll
read it out.
Harsh. I'll read it out now. I think maybe we should save it for another time.
Save it, yeah.
It's better if you don't slag them off before you say, before you read them out, because then people don't feel bad.
This is why I've never compared a comedy.
Yeah, you don't heckle the hecklers first.
This is from Andrew Lee. If Jesus turned clear water to red wine with the use of food colouring, could you say he food died for our sins?
Boom.
Nice. This from Jaron Walker. A woman goes to a local supermarket to pick up something she needs for dinner. She gets all the items she needs. She goes to the checkout line. The cashier looks at the items the woman puts on the belt and notices she's buying a loaf of bread, a carton of eggs, and flour. After looking at these items, the cashier looks at the woman and says, "You must be single." Surprised, the woman engages with the cashier by saying, "Well, yes, how did you know?" The cashier responds to her by saying, "Because you're ugly."
And now he doesn't have a job.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is all we've got time for on today's episode. Thank you for all of your correspondence. Thank you for your Rusev Hayes, your bad jokes, your WrestleTalk Get Betters, and all that comes in between. We're going to be back later today with a mini-sode, predictions for NXT TakeOver War Games with the three of us. And then we'll be back tomorrow with the three of us again for another mini-sode, predicting Survivor Series. Then we're going to be back on Saturday with the WrestleTalk magazine show, WrestleRamble magazine show, I should say. And then we'll be back on Sunday for the NXT TakeOver War Games review, back on Monday for Survivor Series, back on Tuesday for Raw, back on Wednesday for SmackDown, back on Thursday for NXT.
Basically, you'll be listening to us for the rest of your lives.
Jeez, it's going to be a busy week. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.